living in the sky or rolling in the mud? Proverbs 15:24. Are you living in the sky or rolling in the mud? Last few weeks, the Lord's really been quick in a lot of cool things. I had the most amazing revelation, really, in many, many years, and I shared it Friday night. So if you weren't here Friday night, too bad. But it'll happen to be on the Internet this week, and it's free downloadable. And the teaching Friday night was God's glorious incentive to live a repentant life. And we saw that in Isaiah 55, verses we've probably seen 1,000 times, God put them all together, and I got incredible revelation of the awesome authority we have as sons and gods as we live in the heavenlies, walk in the heavenlies, live from the heavenlies, that all creation, the mountains will break forth in joy, and the trees will clap their hands. What all those scriptures mean is that all of creation itself is groaning and waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption, the glorious manifestation of sons of God. When we come into the authority that Jesus Christ has given us, creation itself falls in sync. And I believe the key to healing, key to laying hands on the sick, key to casting out demons, the key is all about recognizing who you are, where you live, and operating from there. And we've seen that in Ephesians 2, Colossians 3, Philippians 3, that we are seated in the heavenly places. We're hid with Christ and God. And Philippians 3, the second last verse says, our citizenship is in heaven. 2 Corinthians 5 says, you are ambassadors. We are citizens of heaven. And so we need to learn to live where we are in the Spirit. And the teaching this morning is, are you living in the sky rolling in the mud? Proverbs 15:24. I like this verse. Solomon says, the way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. The question is, where do you spend your days? All through the Word, there are two ways offered. This is what, really, I think the Lord has been saying prophetically this morning since we came together. Different people sharing. All through the Word, there are two ways offered. Jesus talked about the broad is the way that leads to destruction, and narrow is the way that leads to life. Jesus talked about a house that was built on the sand, and he talked about a house that was built on the rock. Jesus, the scripture talks about walking in the flesh and walking in the spirit. Jesus talks about the foolish son and the wise son. Overcomers and overcome. Now, all through the scriptures, hot or cold, all through the scriptures, there's this dichotomy, there's this decision we have to make. And there is no middle way. Americans somehow believe that scripture in Matthew 7 where it says, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go thereon, narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it, and middle is the way for you Americans that will come along, for those of you who want to be comfortable in your middle class lifestyles and yet still make it to heaven. I'm sorry, I looked in the Greek interlinear and that part's not in there. And yet most people live that way. They think that they can have their cake and eat it too. They can live in the world. And I'm telling you what, I've got a lot of surprised people on Judgment Day, because a lot of people are going to come up and say, Lord, Lord, we did all these things. We were religious. We did all these things. He even cast out demons, it says. Whoa. That gets real close to home. I mean, you know, well, he cast out demons. Yeah, well, big whoop. Jesus said, I never knew you. You workers of iniquity. Now, that says to me, we're talking believers. Because unbelievers don't go around casting out demons. In fact, I don't even know you can get them out if you're an unbeliever. The one time in the Bible, Acts 19, when a bunch of unbelievers tried to get them out, the demon got them, ripped them to pieces. They ran out of the house. The demon cast them out. But we're talking about believers here that are going to be sadly more. I'll tell you what, sorry, I'm just not of the Calvinist bent. I'm of the belief system based upon Hebrews 6, Hebrews 10, many other places. That yes, reprobation is possible. Paul himself, last verse of 1 Corinthians 9, says, I preach these things and I keep my body under, lest that when I preach, I myself, in the Greek, should be reprobate. Paul himself feared reprobation. That ought to put the fear of God in us. That's why in the last chapter of 2 Corinthians 13, he says, examine yourselves whether be in your faith. Know ye not whether you're reprobate or not. He tells you, believers, to examine whether or not you're reprobate. Read it. So it would be interesting, he told that to the Corinthians. So the question here is, where do you spend your days? Now we're going to look at Proverbs 9. This is a wonderful chapter, and we're just going to look at some verses in this chapter. That's pretty much the sermon this morning. I've seen this chapter for years, and I've always wanted to preach on it, and I've never kind of had the right. It just didn't seem, and this seems to do it. There's basically, Proverbs 9 gives us a picture of the two choices we have. Proverbs 9, verse 1, wisdom has built her house. I like the King James. She has hewn out her seven pillars. It's sort of like a palace. She's killed her beasts. Now, I want to go through this slowly. I don't know how your versions read. But the margin running, if she's killed her beast, is she has killed her killing. She's mingled her wine. She's furnished her table. And she sent forth her maidens who cry upon the highest places of the city. Now let's stop there. You know what he's saying there in the spirit? Wisdom. Jesus Christ said, "I am." He is wisdom, is justified of her children. He was the personification of wisdom. In fact, in the 8th chapter of Proverbs, the previous chapter, it's obvious he's talking about Jesus. He's talking about wisdom was there in the creation of all things. And Jesus, we know that the Word, all things were made by Him. So wisdom, what it says to me in Proverbs 9:1-3, is God has done all He can do for us. It's already done. He's hewn out the seven pillars. That speaks of perfect order, perfect sublimity, is that the word? Perfect place to live, to abide in the hereafter, in the natural, and now in the spirit. And it says, the literal rendering, this is fascinating, she has killed her killings. Did you know there was, and mingled wine. It speaks of the crucifixion. Christ was killed, and the blood came out as water and blood. It was like mingled. Jesus poured out His blood. Literally, we're seeing in the Spirit here a picture of a crucifixion, of a shedding of blood. That was for the preparation of the furnishing of the table. Do you see that? Well, it's in the Spirit, if you look at it, it is a picture of what God did. He's done everything He can. He sent His furnishing, sent His Holy Ghost for abundant life. And then the next thing, He's dispatched couriers to invite people to the feast. And Jesus gave that parable many times. He said the kingdom of heaven is like a man who threw a feast, and he invited people to come. And in Luke 14 it says, and they didn't because they all had these excuses. Remember that? And for this reason, that, and finally said, you know, those are lame excuses. Go into the highways and the hedges and whatever, the lame and the halt, the blind, and compel them to come to my house. And there's all these parables about the king and a feast and preparing it. Nobody wants to come, and only the lowlife gets to come. How many are glad you're lowlife? Any lowlife in here? So we see a choice. Now notice verse 4. This is what the dispatchers say, the couriers say. Whoso is simple, turn in hither. And as for him that wants understanding, she says, you know, the first thing is only you God except you become as a little child. You cannot enter. People of intellectual and mental prowess, it's very difficult to come into the deep things of the kingdom. Jesus said in Luke 10, I thank you, Father, that you reveal these things unto babes, even so it seemed good in your sight. It's difficult for those who have giftings and blessings in the intellectual area. It becomes a god to them, and it's difficult for them to humble themselves and get up. And yet that's the only way in. Paul told the Corinthians, look among you. Look around you. Not many wise, not many noble, not many sophisticated come in, but look around you. It's just kind of, you know, the scum of the earth. People that know they need Jesus. You know, people who grow up with misfortunes and problems and traumas and catastrophes and all these things, they're blessed people. Because when you grow up with traumas and misfortunes and catastrophes and abuse, you're blessed because you got a need in your life and you're going to run to Jesus and get saved. It's people that grow up and everything's fine. Just mom and dad and cherry pie and apple and college and babies and kids and careers. And are you at the end of your life and you go straight to hell? Because you never had a need. Amen? How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God, Jesus said. Rich in whatever way. So misfortunes are good. You know, a pearl will never occur except the oyster has something irritating. You know, they don't just, and a pearl is a result of irritation over a long period of time and learning how to cope with it, not spit it out. I bet you there were days that pearl would like to spit that grain of sand out. I don't know why they don't. Maybe the grain of sand gets where they can't get it in their spitter part. Have you ever thought of a pearl spitting? I mean, an oyster spitting? How do you spit when you're down under water anyway? So verse 5, now let me show you something. You notice how in verse 2, this is fascinating, what she prepared was killing and mingled wine. There was a beast slain. Look what it turns into in verse 5. Come eat of my bread and drink of my wine. Isn't that fascinating? the killing, the shed blood beast, listen to this, verse 2, turned into, by verse 5, bread and wine. Now, you can't tell me that's not prophetic of the New Testament crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And he said, he held up a piece of bread, he said, "This is my body." And he held the wine and said, "This is my blood, and except you eat of my body and drink of my blood, you shall have no life in you." And that offended all of those Jews, because, I mean, everybody knows that if you drink the blood, you know, you shall be cut off, for the life is in the blood. But they made it into a sacred cow, and Jesus enjoyed kicking those sacred cows. So he said that, then many, John 6:66, were offended and left him. And he turned to his own disciples, and they'd already thought about it. To whom shall we go? You hear the words of eternal life. So we see the welcome feast. This is the communion of the intimacy. And verse 6, "Forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding." Folks, this is the beckoning of the couriers. This is what the Spirit of God, Jesus said in John 6, "No man come to me but the Spirit of God draw him." This is what he's saying. What's the message? You know what it is? You know what the basic message is? Repent, forsake, turn around. Verse 6, "Forsake the foolish and live." Jesus said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It's all about repentance. The only way you're going to get in is the only way in is to utterly turn around. You have to repent. The gospel preached today in America in most evangelical circles is you can get in the way you are. God loves you where you are. He does love you where, but he doesn't accept you where you are. Sherry and I were at a company picnic. Remember they had KSBJ on the radio, and the DJ came on and said something about, "Yeah, and the Lord accepts you where you are." And I turned to Sherry and said, "That's heresy. Jesus doesn't accept me where he loves me where I am. He does not accept me where I am. He demands that I repent. I'm an abomination in his sight. Except for the blood of Jesus." But that's the easy believerism. Oh, he'll accept you where you are. You can come in. You can live like the heathen. You can come in and be a pervert or living in open sin or a homosexual. It's okay. He accepts you where you are. We'll love you to the kingdom. I believe we do love the sinner and hate the sin. But there is a line. I have read 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Have you? Read 1 Corinthians chapter 5. It says, "Do not go to Starbucks and have a coffee with a brother who's living certain ways." That's what it says. It doesn't say Starbucks, but it's the same idea. It says, do not have intimate, because you know what they did in the Old Testament? I mean, the New Testament? They shunned. Boy, can you imagine church today shunning someone? Only the Amish do shunning. You know what shunning is? It's a biblical practice of someone is purged from your midst and no one talks to them. And when you see him, you turn and you shun them. That's exactly what Paul told them in 1 Corinthians 5 to do to that young man who was fornicating with his stepmother. And he was shunned. Only the Amish do that. Can you imagine church today? The one being shunned would probably file lawsuits. But you know, at work, 2 Corinthians 2, Paul went and said, okay, because of overmuch sorrow, the young man is repentant, bringing back into the fold. Amen? He repented. And the way in is to repent. Always. Repent. Gotta stop. Change your mind. Turn around and go the other way. That's good news, man. Can't have it both ways. Now, let's look at the alternative. Chapter 9, verse 13. "A foolish woman is clamorous. She's simple and she knows nothing." Now, what's interesting is in verse 4, it says, "Whoever is simple, come in." But this woman's simple. Clueless is the current idiom. Knows nothing. "She sits at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city to call passengers who go right on the ways." Let me give you how the Amplified reads. "The foolish woman is noisy. She's simple and open to all forms of evil. She willfully and recklessly knows nothing whatever of eternal value." And man, I read that and I thought, how many people we pass every day are exactly like that. They live as if there is no eternity at the back end. You know, when you stand, I have to go to Kroger's, and when you're standing in the line, there's all these magazines. And all these different magazines about J-Lo or Jen or Zoo, it's all these whoever figures, and they're whether they're shunning their latest love or their kids, like they had one, these kid, little kid crying because his mama, Brittany, or something was divorcing and getting tattoos and all of this stuff. And I looked at all of this stuff and I thought, you know, I would imagine most everyone I'm looking at is going to hell. And the people, it's like a trap. People get into that superficial, where they, you know what? I heard something the other day. What was that? Ideas? Help me, y'all. Those that are very bright talk ideas. Those that are not kind of normal talk about events. And those that really need help intellectually talk about people. Whoa, convict you. Those that are very bright talk ideas, philosophies. Those that are kind of middle range talk about events, football, baseball, what events going on. But those that really need help talk about people. And there's a real reality and a truth there. God wants us to live in the realm of ideas. Hello, what is the gospel? It's an idea. It's eternal. God wants our mind to be on eternal things. But at Colossians, we set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. I'm sorry, that's what it says. I didn't write it. It's in your Bible, looking at Colossians 3. There it is. You know, if you're a friend of this world, you're an enemy with God, James 4. You're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. God, you become his enemy. You're an enemy with God. Whosoever loves this world becomes an enemy of God. Love not the world, neither the things of the world. For all that's of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father. I'm telling you what, folks, there's a lot of wickedness in this world. And it's seductive. And it's evil. And it will damn you. It will or deprioritize Jesus. It'll snap it. And all of a sudden, you become spiritually clueless. Spiritually clueless. You can't connect the dots. And you got this going on in this dynamic and situation with kids, family, whatever situation and job. And you're just clueless and you don't understand. And you're mad at God. And all the time, the Lord's trying to say, hello. What part of hello do you not understand? Get on your knees. Repent. Come out from among them. Touch not the unclean, says the Lord. I do believe it's possible. I do believe it's possible to partake of the things of this life. I do, but to be careful. You got to be careful because they're like snakes. They're like vines who get around your heart and choke you. Don't get own things. Just don't let things own you. Amen? Nothing intrinsically wrong with a football game or a baseball game. Nothing intrinsically wrong with certain entertainment at all. But the problem is when you go to it with a motive of escape, you go to a motive of, I don't want to deal with, folks, then you've come in, come baby, and you suck and the spirit gets on you. And then it becomes an addiction, and you find your gravity, and suddenly Jesus is off the throne. Folks, and the demons come in. And then you don't understand all these calamities in your life, and you call the preacher. Or the Cornelia leader. And I got discernment, dude. I got some antennas out there. You call me. Well, usually you don't call me because you know what you're going to get. Look, either hot or cold. Max it. Pedal to the metal or get out of the car. Pedal to the metal or ride the bus. Guys. Amen? I'm sorry. This is just not a lukewarm, like Sherry was telling this morning to me about salt. Talk about a church. How salty are we? You know, salt... Jesus said if salt has lost its savor, it's not good for anything. Salt is poignant. It's a preservative. It brings life to that which you have. And God wants us to be light and salt. He wants to be city set on a hill, shining light. I want this church to be people either hate us or love us. They either drive down. No, they literally don't even drive. Hey, honey, we can take Lano Street and we won't have to go by that church. Oh, I told you, I wish I had. The city of Pasadena will not let us have a little thing out there. The little sign we got, we have to pay $100 a month for. I don't know if you knew that. For the last 10 years, it's grandfathered. I wish they'd change the rule. I need to start praying some authority prayers to change that sign Nazi thing in Pasadena. But I'd love to have a little sign thing. We could change it every day. And like I said, I'd put 10 commandments out there. One day, thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not kill. But we'd see the traffic slow down on the street. Amen? I want to be light. I want to be salt. And you're going to suffer persecution. I've found over the years that this work, and this is the way it ought to be. You either embrace it or people tell me all the time, well, I've been trying to come for months, but something always comes up. I wonder why. And actually, that's an affirmation to my ministry. It's real hard getting there. That's good. If it was easy to get there, the demons just kind of open up like the Red Sea. You know, go, go. I'd go, whoa, what are we doing? Amen? All right. Y'all are part of that. How many of y'all want to be salty? Okay, so what does she say? Verse 16. You ready? What comes out of her mouth? This is scary. I mean, this is scary, folks. Who always simple? You come in here. Now, folks, let me tell you, both these voices are coming at you. And as for him that wants understanding, she says, stolen waters are sweet. And bread eaten in secret, that's the word occult, hidden secret is pleasant. You know, it reminds me of a spider. You know the way a spider attracts a bug? Is that web glistens with the morning dew. Did y'all see the movie Bug's Life? And it had that zapper, and this little bug was going, but it's so beautiful. You know, just the bug goes, ooh, look at the shiny glistening thing, and it gets stuck. Have you ever seen a bug get stuck on a web? And Ms. Spider, up behind the leaf, feels the reverberation. And suddenly, I mean, at this point, I walk away. Or I get a stick and kill the whole thing. I saw the movie The Fly when I was a kid, the Vincent, I mean, I still find that demon out of my mind. I believe they made a remake of it, but I'm still, remember the original one, oh Lord. I'd go to the movie when I was a kid in the 50s, you know, and my brothers and I would literally look over the thing, you know, the seat of heavy. But anyway, it's a scary thing. And that's exactly what you're looking at. Come, sweet, forbidden. Listen to the word. Sweet, forbidden, enticing, alluring, tempting, seducing like a spider. Folks, that is always going to be out there until either the second coming or you die. Every day. And it's going to be your type of cheese. You know, whatever's appealing to you. Some of y'all, it's different. For some of y'all, it may be that piece of pie that's sitting in the refrigerator that is becoming all-consuming for you. And you know what? That's as bad as pornography for somebody else. Because what you know to do well and do not is sin, he says. God's telling your conscience, and that's what you're going to be judged on. You can't say, well, you know, you can't get in the legal realm. It's what the Holy Ghost is saying to you. And the point of the sermon this morning, are you living in the skies or rolling around in the mud? Now, I want to get to the point where I lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I'd command things, as I read earlier in the Proverbs, it's so cool, by me, princes rule and kings decree justice. And I thought, whoa, dude, I like that. I want to be in the heavenlies and decree stuff under the kingdom of God according to his will. Dude, that's cool. Point to a situation in intercession. Amen? Just know that I'm in the heavenlies, I'm in intercession, and I demand and decree in Jesus' name. Whoa! Demons, just pull back. We have that authority in Jesus' name. But you got to know where you are and seated with him. And I'm telling you, that's the power of the Lord. That's what he's called us to live in the skies. And that's the message the Holy Ghost has been putting on my heart the last several weeks. And I don't know where it's going, but I'm just really excited about the word now. Just kind of a new perspective on our authority. Now look how it ends, verse 18. This is scary. But he knows not that the dead are there and that her guests are in the depths of hell. Dude, that's a scary way to end that passage. You know, Paul himself said, I keep my body on. You know what? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord. Let us fear lest any of us falling short, he says to the Hebrews. God wants us to walk in the fear of the Lord. And God, it's not some little, oh, fear of the Lord means reverence, you know. No. It means fear. Our God is a consuming fire. Amen? If you don't fall on him, guess what? He'll fall on you like a rock. He's big, I'm small. He loves me, I love him. Like, somebody told me about John Bevere saying this. I didn't hear the exact quote, but that he talked to Jim Baker in prison or whatever. And Jim Baker said, interestingly enough, who ended up utterly repenting and bearing fruit in his life, said, I love the Lord, but I didn't fear him. I had no fear of the Lord. And he says, I was going to hell. He reckoned he was going to hell. God save those others that love the Lord but don't fear him. Don't fear the fact this is labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own. There are scriptures that say, do not labor to be rich. Jesus said, woe unto you, the rich of this world. For it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man. There's nothing wrong with riches. It's about where your heart is. Because Christ had wealthy friends, benefactors. It's where your heart is. When you labor to be rich, when the purpose of what you do is just to get money for self and power. And folks, dude, that's very, very dangerous. For they will do, 1 Timothy 6 says, the love of money is the root of all evil. And they that seek such, he says, it's like a picture of a whirlpool. Just swirl into this seductive abyss. He says, but man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness and peace and intimacy with others. Is that, y'all see the choice this morning in Proverbs 9? Amen? I think that was I told you, it came along with the testimony of different ones sharing this morning. Let's stand. We're just going to reaffirm our choice before Jesus this morning. I'm going to tell you what, guys. The teaching Friday was, there's a great incentive to repent. And that's one point I want to make to you. It's not that you repent, darn it, in this life I got a bummer life, I've got to not do God. No, you don't understand. What you get to do is so much better. You can live and rule and reign with Him now from the heavenlies and live an overcoming life. Start surfing instead of just getting beat down by the waves. And it can start tomorrow. It can start tonight. Right now. Say this up to me. Jesus, forgive me for rolling in the mud. I lift my eyes to the skies. From whence cometh my help? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And you've called me to sit with you in the skies. Help me to live and flow every day from where I already am. As a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. Satan, you and all your powers, the seductions of this world, I take authority over you in the name of Jesus Christ. And I bind your power over my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. You got a song? This morning, let me pray now. Pray a blessing, Lord. I pray protection, Lord. You'd send your angels over all of us, our children, our belongings, our pets, our automobiles, our jobs. Lord, you just protect us. And most of all, Lord, you open our eyes and our willingness to be available to you for all the dynamics of good works to serve and minister to the hurt and needy around us. And everybody said, God bless you. Go in peace in Jesus' name. Anyone like